Good evening, and welcome to Safilo Group conference call on fourth quarter and full year 2011 results. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating economic and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary even significantly to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Roberto Vedovotto, Chief Executive Officer, Vincenzo Giannelli, Chief Financial Officer, and Barbara Ferrente, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Mr. Roberto Vedovotto, Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Vedovotto, you may begin.
Thank you very much. Good evening. You all, and welcome to Safilo's fourth quarter and full year 2011 results conference call. As you've heard, I'm here with Vincenzo Giannelli and Barbara Ferrante, and together we will guide you through the presentation, through the results, and we hope we're going to be able to leave some time for questions at the end of the presentation. Before we move to the key figures, I would like to spend a few minutes highlighting the significant actions implemented by our group over the last four quarters, as I believe they provide an important interpretation of what we achieved in 2011 and even more on what our strategic path will be in the future. In fact, 2011 was a very important year in consolidating our position from the organizational, business, and financial standpoints in light of the strategy that we share with you. In particular, organizational, we implemented a new organization that fits better with our business and clients' needs. Business, we perform a rationalization of our brand portfolio, license versus house brands, together with a selected acquisition strategy, which eventually translated into revenues and EBITDA growth. Financial, we achieved what I would define a solid balance sheet with a record low level of leverage. Number one, with reference to the organizational structure, we reviewed it in order to ensure a fast and efficient execution of our plans in all key business areas. We set up a brand new organization framework focusing know-how and resources on brands and products. This structure addresses the what, where, and how of our business model. The what means our three business divisions, license brands, Safilo's brands, and sport. The where means our key business regions, EMEA, Far East, and Americas, which are responsible for markets, channel policies, consumer and marketing strategies at local level. The how means the cross-functional and corporate services. As you know, in 2011, we completed the strengthening of our new senior management team. After appointing the CFO September 2010, last year we added, for the very first time in Safilo history, three new strategic positions: Global Supply Chain Logistics and Operational Officer, Global Head of License Brands, and Global Head of Safilo Brands. At the same time, we kept investing in strengthening the middle management team in our key business areas. ambition to become the leading pure wholesaler player in the global eyewear industry. And we define our strategies and action towards this ambitious goal. Our strategy is to focus on the wholesale channel and have a clear positioning in the eyewear luxury space with a balanced portfolio of licensed and own brands. In this context, we have reviewed our licensed brand portfolio, and as a consequence of that, we have carried out selected renewals, additions, and non-renewals. As far as the Armani licenses are concerned, despite our strong effort and preference to renew them, Armani decided not to renew the agreement. It is our objective to reinforce our own brand portfolio, and we have identified Polaroid as the right acquisition opportunity to fulfill our goals. With this objective in mind, in 2011, as you have seen, we renew our partnership with Alexander McQueen and Kate Spade, but also with J.Lo and Saks Fifth Avenue in the American market. Including those brands, between 2010 and 2011, we renewed 10 licenses. I'm sure you remember that in 2010 we renewed Dior, Yves Saint Laurent, Marc Jacobs, Marc by Marc Jacobs, Juicy Couture, and Bottega Veneta. On the other side, we did not continue our partnership with Valentino, Nine West, Diesel, and Balenciaga. Finally, as a result of our continuous scouting for valuable brands to include into our portfolio, in November 2011, we signed a multi-year licensing agreement for the production and distribution of Celine. Celine is a very prestigious name in the high-end segment of the market, which already has a very strong recognition in many Asian markets. We consider Celine a super interesting business opportunity and a strong and very cooperative group to work with. We also strongly reaffirmed our strategy of building a strong portfolio of Safilo own brands, which cover diffusion, specialist, and value for money segment. In 2011, we kept pushing on the consolidation and expansion of Carrera, achieving its global empowerment as a master brand. Last year, we were particularly happy about the results of Carrera in the US and Latin America. They were even above our expectations, enabling the brand to become one of Safilo's most significant brands in the region. We also renew our commitment to develop the brand Safilo, as we really wanted to improve its strong brand awareness in the specialist prescription frame business to make it the right choice for the best of patients in the world. MIT, a premium brand in the sport lifestyle segment, will also play an important role in the future growth. Very importantly, as you know, Safilo closed the year announcing the acquisition of the Polaroid eyewear business. I would define it as a significant milestone for our strategy to build a strong portfolio of Safilo own brands. This project has been meaningfully backed by our main shareholder, who will finance 2/3 of the transaction, which is expected to be finalized in the coming weeks. I will come back to Polaroid towards the end of our presentation. But let me say that we are proud to see that those relevant actions translated into meaningful economic and financial improvement. Let me go into those improvements. In 2011, our results were overall positive, in line with our expectations and the guidance that we provided to you at the end of September. 2011 sales were slightly above 1.1 billion euro, reporting an organic growth of 6%. In the last quarter of the year, we were up 3.8% at constant perimeter and exchange rates. Let's look for a minute at emerging countries. Asia and Latin America represented our most important growth engines, maintaining strong double-digit growth rates throughout the entire year. Sales were boosted in China, Hong Kong, South Korea, Brazil, Mexico, but also in Russia and in our travel retail business. US remained solid, recording a positive mid-single-digit improvement, which was driven by the resilient performance of the independent optician channel. The sunglass business of Solstice stores performed very well, with a like-for-like sales up 7.2% for the full year. Europe was weak. Sales in the region ended slightly up in the full year, increasing mid-single digit in the first half of the year, but declining by almost the same percentage in the second part of 2011. This occurred on the back of the difficult economic and political environment that, as you all know, materialized mainly in Southern Europe starting from July and August. In 2011, we were satisfied by the strong performance of our top licensed brands, Gucci and Dior. As you can imagine, growth was clearly very significant in emerging markets, but we were pleased to see progresses in the mature markets, proving the success of the brand and the strength of product and distribution policies adopted by our group. I must tell you also that we really appreciated the strong results recorded by Hugo Boss Group, licenses, Marc Jacobs, as much as we were delighted by the strong international expansion of Tommy Hilfiger. As I already commented, I'm extremely proud of the work we're doing on Carrera. It was another strong year for our top proprietary brand, still growing double digits. Results were particularly significant in the US, but also in Latin America, particularly in Brazil, where Carrera is today our top seller. Now, in terms of profitability, in 2011, our operating performance was up double digit, with EBITDA increasing by 13.7% and EBIT up almost 30%. This result was achieved thanks to the improvement recorded at the gross profit level, which benefited from the volume growth and the more efficient management of the distribution channels and stocks. As you can imagine, as I briefly mentioned above, another important contributor of our operating result was represented by the exponential increase of profitability achieved by our Solstice retail chain in the US market. Solstice confirmed the strength of our group strategy to rationalize the network around the most efficient and profitable locations. I would like to highlight that in 2011 we continue to invest important resources in the core wholesale activities and processes, particularly in sales and marketing. We close the year with a net profit of 27.9 million euros compared to break-even 2010 and a huge loss in 2009. This result was made possible by lower interest expenses, as well as by, finally, a normalized level of tax rate. We finished the year with a strong balance sheet. In 2011, we achieved a record low financial leverage with net debt on EBITDA at 1.9 times at the end of December. This is the lowest leverage since the leverage buyout, which occurred in 2001. With that said, I'd like now to hand it over to Vincenzo for some further and more detailed comments and remarks on the fourth quarter results and on full year 2011 results. I will then come back at the end for some final comments. Vincenzo?
Okay, thank you, Roberto. I will start from the highlights of our consolidated results, slide 9. As you can see, in the fourth quarter of 2011, reported sales stood at 268.4 million euro, up 3.8% at constant perimeter and exchange rates, while full year 2011 ended with an organic sales growth equal to 6%. The operating performance of the fourth quarter was characterized by a mid-single-digit improvement of the gross profit, plus 140 basis points, and by the expected higher incidence on revenues of selling, general, and administrative costs. In the quarter, EBIT remained in line with the same period of 2010 at 6% of sales, while EBITDA was slightly down to 9.3% of sales. These results allowed us to achieve our full-year guidance of 11% EBITDA, actually slightly better, 11.1%. Recording in the year 122.6 million euro. EBIT stood in 2011 at 7.8% of sales, an improvement of 150 basis points compared to full year 2010. In the fourth quarter, the net result was positive for 1.3 million euro, while the year ended with a group's net margin of 2.5%. Now, moving to slide 10, we can look briefly at the main drivers of the top line, as anticipated by Roberto. And in the fourth quarter of 2011, revenues of our core wholesale business were up 3.3% at constant exchange rates, 3.8% at current currencies. By geography, Asia was again very, very strong, up 21.6% at constant exchange rates, thanks to the general boost of our business in the high-end segments of Gucci and Dior, but also in the fashion and diffusion areas of Carrera, Marc by Marc Jacobs, Boss Orange, and Tommy Hilfiger. The region also benefited from the important increases registered by our travel retail sales. Americas remained satisfactory, up 5.2% in the last quarter at local currency and constant perimeter. And if we exclude Solstice, the wholesale performance of the region was positive by roughly 3.5%, driven by the continuing expansion of the group in Latin American countries and the resilient trends also in the U.S. market. In the last quarter, Solstice comp sales were again up 7.5%, and as already highlighted, in the year we proceeded in the strategy of rationalizing the chain around the best performing locations. The network is today composed by 151 stores, and we expect to close additional 20 stores in 2012. Moving to Europe, the fourth quarter was difficult, down 4%, with the main weakness registered in South European markets. Greece and Portugal were heavily impacted by the specific economic and political issues involving the countries, while in Italy, trends remained negative on the independent opticians channel. In the year, we continued to focus activities and projects on the development of key accounts, a channel and an area of business that kept growing nicely also in 2011, and on which the group has strengthened its organization. All in all, in full year 2011, revenues of our core wholesale business were up 5.5% at constant exchange rates and plus 3.7% at current currencies. Europe in the year ended slightly positive, up around 1%, thanks to the positive performance of core markets like France, Germany, and UK, and the sales boost recorded in Russia and Turkey. In the year, Americas were up 7.7% and Asia 17%. Now, let's move to slide 11. In the fourth quarter, EBITDA equaled to 25 million euro with a margin of 9.3%. As said, the operating performance benefited from the improvement of the gross profit, whose margin in the quarter stood at 57.6% of revenues. This was mainly driven by the revenue growth recorded in the period, as well as by the improved channel policies that resulted in a better sales mix and a general higher quality of products in stock. On the other hand, the incidence of selling, general and administrative costs, both in Q3 and Q4, resulted generally higher than the corresponding periods of 2010 as a result of higher investments in sales and marketing activities. In the fourth quarter, the wholesale EBITDA margin stood at 9.9% of revenues compared to 11.4% in Q4 2010. In full year 2011, despite the numerous investment activities undertaken in 2011 to strengthen and sustain our core wholesale business, the incidence of selling general administrative costs remained pretty much stable year on year. The wholesale EBITDA margin improved to 11.2% of revenues from 10.7% in 2010. At the retail level, we were back to black also in the fourth quarter, with a small margin of 1.4% on sales compared to the loss of 2.2 million euro recorded in the fourth quarter of 2010. In full year 2011, the retail margin soared to 10.6% of sales from 2% in 2010. Below the operating line, slide 12, the net result of the quarter, positive for 1.3 million euro, was influenced by the impact of exchange rate differences related to the balance sheet items. Like in the third quarter, this accounting adjustment was negative also in the fourth quarter, following the further revaluation of the US dollar against euro at the end of December. On the positive front, the net result continued to benefit from the decline of interest expenses, down in the quarter 13%, thanks to the 60 million euro partial early redemption of the high yield bond undertook in June 2011. Here I would like to add that the full year tax rate stood at 39.3%, back to a normal level after the last 2 years. Moving to the free cash flow, in the next slide, we closed the year with a cash generation of 24.7 million euro, as you can see. And this result was driven by the positive net result of the year, a tighter control on working capital, whose incidence of revenues remained in line with 2010 at 26.5%, and roughly 30 million euro of investments. In the last quarter of the year, the positive cash flow from operations remained pretty much in line with the fourth quarter of 2010. In full year 2011, total investments were mainly related to maintenance capex dedicated to the production facilities in Italy and abroad. Finally, following our quarterly performance, the group's net debt remained pretty much stable at the level reached at the end of September, 238.3 million euro, confirming the record financial leverage of 1.9 times. Here, I would like to add that in the composition of our gross debt, the revolving facility at December 2011 was drawn for 40 million euro compared to 50 million in September and 60 in June. Such facility, committed for a total amount of €200 million, will expire in June 2015. I now hand it back over to Roberto for his final remarks.
Thank you, Vincenzo. I would like to briefly come back to our acquisition of Polaroid eyewear business, as it does represent a fundamental step forward in the implementation of our strategy on Safilo's brand. We view Polaroid as an important addition to our Safilo proprietary portfolio, a strong brand we can further enhance in Europe, where it is already sold, while having the opportunity to develop it almost from scratch in the Americas and Asia markets, which are both greenfield for Polaroid. It was quite amazing for us to discover the high level of awareness the Polaroid brand enjoys, even in those markets where its products are underrepresented or not sold. Polaroid invented in the first man-made polarizer for commercial use in 1929. And the first pair of Polaroid sunglasses was sold in 1935. Polaroid has been a pioneer and a leader in polarizing lens technology ever since. And we will start from there. An important brand name, 75 years of polarization experience in a business segment, the specialist and value for money, where we are not present now, with a very well-known brand name. Polaroid will allow us to extend the reach of our own brand division, contributing to realize our full potential across markets, categories, and channels. I'd like to conclude this presentation by highlighting how the year ahead will be a period of transition for Safilo, of additions and discontinuity. 2012 should see an overall positive business environment in our industry despite the continuous weakness of some important European markets. And this is particularly thanks to the predicted trends in North America and especially in the main emerging countries where Safilo's competitive position is strong, and particularly strong after the extraordinary results achieved in 2011. In 2012, our revenues and profitability will be influenced by the phase-out of the Armani Group licenses, on which we think we will have more limited business opportunities in consideration of the early announced termination. However, we expect that development projects undertaken on all strategic licenses and, in particular, in Safilo's brands, will counterbalance the negative impact of the phase-out process. With that said, I think we are now ready to answer your question. But before doing that, I really would like to thank you very much for your patience and your attention. Operator?
Thank you, sir. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll now pause for just a moment to assemble the queue. And we'll now move to our first question today from Stefano Corleani from Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. I have an initial couple of questions. The first one is about clearly the full year 2012 outlook. At this regard, could you please help us better understanding or better qualify the kind of effect you're expecting from the disrupted Armani licenses, the kind of integration you're planning at Polaroid to help us understanding what kind of profitability Polaroid will deliver this year instead of, if not, the kind of eventually negative implication the remaining portion of the license portfolio will suffer because of the departure of the Armani collections. And secondly, is about net working capital, and particularly if you're expecting any further improvements going forward and the actions taken to improve the ratio on sales or even in the net working capital in absolute terms. Thank you.
Okay, let's start with the outlook for 2012 on Armani and Polaroid. With regards to Armani, of course, we will have some impact in terms of both top line and bottom line this year, because we will definitely have lower volumes year on year, because, for instance, we are not developing the August-October collections. We will develop only, we have developed the January, and we are developing and start to sell also the April collection, so we will have a lower collection, number of collections. First, we will have also lower volumes, lower average prices, and we expect also to have some burden in terms of under absorption of fixed cost and also possibly minimum guarantee royalties. We will have lower revenues, top line, and also lower profitability on our money. How much, of course, it will depend on the actual performance. I can answer only in terms of in qualitative terms. With reference to Polaroid, of course, so far we haven't yet completed the acquisition that we expect to complete by the end of the quarter. In the 9 months, we will start managing the business. I think there can be some synergies, but in the first run, in the first 9 months, there won't be any specific difference vis-a-vis last year performance. And so I think that we will have a normal rate of sales and also basically the same ordinary profitability of the business in this first 9 months of the year. Of course, in the long run, in the longer term, we expect to have an important contribution both in terms of revenues and in terms also of bottom line. With reference to net working capital, we think that now we are running working capital much better than in the past, so we reached already good results in terms of working capital control on receivables, inventories, and also payables. Looking forward in 2012, of course, as I said, there will be an impact of the Armani termination in terms of lower volumes and lower profitability. We could have some positive reversal in terms of reduction of net working capital referred to the business on those brands.
Thank you.
Thank you. And now we move to our next question from Flavio Cereda from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello. Three questions, really. One, just to be original, still on Armani, I suppose. Is there likely to be an attempt between the three parties concerned to manage the potential overhang of product, should we say, especially on with your customers? Because I would have thought it would be in everybody's interest to do so, and above all to make sure that you're not stuck with any inventories at year-end that you might have to discount aggressively. So that's the first question was on Armani. Second on Hugo Boss, can you tell us if you already started talking to them about the license extension? Because my understanding is that's the next relevant one and the only really relevant one that you have for some time now. And thirdly, can you give us a sense of what the sell-through numbers in terms of your brands, house and designer brands, are at Solstice at this time and whether it's changed, say, compared to a year ago? Thank you.
Flavio, thank you for your questions. On the first one, no, I would say that there will not be a constructive three parties solution to the transition of the Armani license. I think everyone, and I speak for ourselves mainly, everyone will do its best. We certainly do it. We have certain contractual obligations, and we try to manage the non-renewal in the best possible way until the end of this year and for the next for the first 6 months in 2013. With reference to Hugo Boss, yes, you're absolutely right. Hugo Boss is very relevant for us as a license. We are performing well on Boss. We are performing extremely well on Boss Orange. So for us, it is very important to stay close to the brand and to try to renew it. It is not expiring until the end of 2013, but clearly we are in constant contact with them in order to see if we're going to come to a positive conclusion of discussions sooner rather than later. So I would say that you correctly pointed out that Hugo Boss is very important for us. We are excited with the results and we'll do our best to renew it. I'm confident, so hopefully we're going to be able to do it quite soon. With reference to Solstice, I think Safilo's products in Solstice perform well. Overall results are encouraging. Clearly, Solstice for us is a very important marketing tool. And as you've seen, the results are particularly positive. Of course, our brands will be more and more represented into our stores because it's the part of the market in which we can be relevant, showcasing all the portfolio of brands that we have. Within Solstice, I would say that our licensed brands performed really well and Carrera did even better. So we are particularly pleased of the performance. We're going to quickly also introduce Polaroid, at least in a selected number of doors. So all in all, we are happy with the performance of Safilo brands in two sources.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star one. We'll now move to our next question from Jacopo Maggiocchi from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening to everybody. Just a follow-up on Polaroid, if you can give us some more details on the inclusion of Polaroid in your perimeter and the launch of this, if you will wait to clean the trade of the old products, if you will launch immediately the new ones, if you are planning extraordinary advertising and promotion for the launch. Thank you.
Jacopo, thank you. I think initially we will manage Polaroid as a standalone business with a progressive integration based on expanding its reach in Europe, where they do not have a direct presence, and also outside of Europe. We want certainly to grow the business through a stronger product proposition, and also certainly through a broader distribution strategy, and also clearly adding the greenfield cluster, which is Americas and Asia. I think honestly it's too early to share numbers as the acquisition is still to be completed, but I can assure you that we're working hard on the opportunity and we have very interesting projects for this business going forward.
Thank you.
As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question today, please press star one or pause again to assemble the queue. We'll now move to our next question from Andrea Bunfer from Aletti Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening to everybody. Sorry I joined the conference call a little bit late, but I hope you didn't answer this question, but have you commented on the, let's say, initial performance of the year, let's say January and February? If we can have some indication on the trading environment and maybe your sales performance. And as far as your, let's say, policy of streamlining your product portfolio, I'm wondering if you can elaborate more on what are, let's say, the benefits of that approach in the reducing complexity and potential cost. And I will, let's say, combine this question with your, let's say, important investment in management, which I presume should deliver also some important results in higher efficiencies, i.e. lowering costs with the same output. So if you can, let's say, elaborate on these points. Thank you very much.
Excuse me, Andrea. The first question is pretty clear to me. The second one, I'm not sure. Can you please repeat it?
I mean, you streamline your product portfolio in terms of licenses. You give up some licenses, and the idea, I think, behind this was to basically concentrate on the profitable ones. So my question is that will you improve your profitability because you stream some licenses, and on that you invested a lot in senior management. So I presume that, especially also in logistics and so on and so forth. So I wonder if you can elaborate on that. What are your expectations in terms of higher efficiencies, i.e. reducing the actual base of cost of your company? Thank you very much. I hope it was more clear this time.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry. So the first one, you know, my preference is never to make comments on current trading, but I would say that so far the start of the year has been in line with our expectations. Clearly, certain areas better than others. Asia, U.S., extremely good. Europe, a little more difficult. And so, of course, we had factored in the continuing weakness of Europe, as you would imagine, as well as the Armani phase-out, which is clearly affecting all of our three main regions. With reference to improving efficiency, yes, I think that the investment on senior management team is starting to pay out because I see strong improvement. Of course, the unfortunate Armani non-renewal will clearly have an impact on profitability short term, but as we discussed earlier, medium to long term, we think that we're going to be able to recover.
Maybe I was wondering if you can, I don't know, if you can, I mean, be more specific on maybe in absolute number, what, how much you can think you can extract in terms of cost basis, also in the light of the Armani phase out and the lower, let's say, volume of production in terms of potential downsizing of your company. So,
yeah, Andrea, sorry, I cannot be much more specific than this. I think you should refer to the previous indication that we have given during the presentation of the strategic plan and as a consequence of the non-renewal of the Armani license. So those are the broad terms and the rough numbers that we are targeting to.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions at this time, I'd like to turn the call back over to you, sir, for any additional or closing remarks. Thank you. It appears we have no further questions at this time, sir.
Okay, so thank you very much. I really appreciate everyone's patience and interest, and I'm really looking forward to talking to you at the beginning of May. Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you, sir. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.